When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wow, all three of us at the same time.
That's weird, huh?
My voice sounds fuzzy. Does it sound fuzzy to you?
No.
Okay, good.
Sounds fine.
Nice.
Check.
Check, check. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Check, 1, 2.
Hello.
1, 1. I haven't seen Shu in fucking forever, huh?
No, he's not.
Still can't see him.
That's right. I didn't do my makeup, so I hope you guys don't mind. This is going to be audio only. My eyebrows are a mess.
You better get on camera. I better be full dong. Maybe with like a little glasses and mustache on it.
Glasses and mustache.
He's making the sounds of a belt.
All right, hold on. Oh, hold on. I got to roll it out.
He's got to roll it out.
All right, hold on. Okay. All right, here we go.
Oh, Jesus.
All right.
There it is. Oh, look at that thing.
Beautiful. That's a beautiful.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Hey, yeah. Daryl, get in here. He's finally showing it.
Oh, hey, Daryl. Oh.
Somehow Neil is watching us Zoom live. Oh. How he's tuned into our.
Mike's penis has a beard and
yes.
big yes. eyes
and big googly yeah big angry eyes.
It looks like one of those Russian egg doll things. What are those things called?
Very old penis.
you know what's
and
awesome.
And that's how we start the podcast.
Yeah.
This is our Neil Young podcast, where we mostly talk out of our ass while going through the works of Mr. Young. It's Mike Shu and the Condon Boys, Trans and Harvest and Linois. We're gonna sit and listen to each one.
Thank you for listening to Long May You Young, one of two Neil Young podcasts that we know of. The other one's in French. And if you don't know French, I guess you're shit out of luck. So you're stuck with us. What's up to our friend Joel and Don't Be Denied, the other Neil Young podcast. But this podcast, we try to go through Neil's catalog album by album. We also talk about his movies and we have guests on. And there's also a Patreon that's involved. We don't know why you'd pay for this, but apparently you do pay for it. So I guess we won't discuss it.
Mike, Ricky Harvey does not like you bringing that up, by the way.
What?
Why would people pay for this? She's like, well, I love this. People like us, Mike. We're up to like, I think close to 8,000 downloads a month.
Jesus Christ, really?
Yeah, it's really.
And all I'm getting is $15 a month out of this? That doesn't seem
but,
right.
But I mean, one of the, I think, not to make Ricky even more mad because she enjoys us, but one of the only reasons I think that is a possibility is because we were the only Neil Young podcast.
Yeah.
But now we've learned that if you start your own Neil Young podcast, this Neil Young podcast will start every episode by also mentioning your Neil Young podcast.
That's right. We stick together.
Kind of guys we are. Yeah.
No, Russ. We start every episode with dick references, and then we get into promoting other
Yeah, that's
course.
What we do. Yes. Right. It's all about dick, really.
But real quick, Mike, I just want to give a shout-out to the patrons. I had a kind of a family medical emergency last week, so we couldn't do our bonus episode, and the patrons have been really, really supportive. So thank you to our patrons.
Nice. Thank you.
Super cool. It feels like family over there.
Yeah. You know. And you know what? You're right. You guys are right. I should stop saying that. So I won't call them suckers at any point during this episode. Okay. And Ricky Harvey, I want to thank you personally for being one of the very first people to get in contact with
us. I thought we were going to lose Ricky early on. And
no, she's been there since the very beginning with John Locke you know, yeah. and I can't.
And we got to give a God. We got to give a special shout out to those tiers, right?
The top tier patrons. There's still three of them. We got John Locke, we got Mark Ray, and of course Craig Bitch.
Craig Bitch.
Craig Bitch. I want like to get together with Craig Bitch and Dan Moshpit.
I was gonna say we haven't heard from Dan Moshpit in a minute. I hope he's doing all right.
He probably got a real job and he's probably doing really well. He doesn't have time to listen to this podcast.
Or he got lost in the pit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, that's true, man. Yeah, maybe. I hope he's okay. Maybe he lost an eye or a finger.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you say who you are? Did you say that?
Oh no, I'm sorry. Hi, I'm Mike Hsu. How are you?
Mike Hsu. Hey, what's up?
And that's Luke and Russ Condon from the band Town Meeting, who have a new album coming out. When is that coming out? August?
May.
May. I was close.
First single comes out this week, though.
That's right. So make sure you look up Town Meeting on Spotify or that Neil Young hates. So I love plugging Spotify and or Amazon Music. And you know what? I've been listening exclusively to Amazon Music.
Me too. I did the trial through the Neil Young. Yeah.
Well, I have
Did
Prime,
you do that?
So you get it with Prime.
You get it with Prime? Really?
Wait, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I have
you
Prime.
Get it with Prime, and it's like, you know, he's right.
Ad free and everything?
It's, yeah. It's, oh, it's it shit, sounds, why am I? It sounds better. The sound is better.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, maybe I'm still getting used to navigating it, and maybe, I don't know. It seems like they have more. It's like Spotify seems to have a better or deeper catalog.
Spotify is the one thing I miss about Spotify, because I actually haven't used it since, and I've only been using Amazon. The one thing I miss is like the albums. You can see them all in order, but with Amazon, it's only still see all the albums, but
they're not in order.
They're not in order, which drives me nuts.
And then they have all these funky, weird, like European or Japanese only releases that.
Yeah,
it's strange.
The only thing I miss about Spotify is the algorithm. They were starting to really nail my Discover Weekly, and it's just titles taking a bit to get there. And now my title is completely filled up. My title does a daily discovery, which is cool, but it's entirely Thin Lizzy right now. Because
nothing wrong with that,
dude.
I still haven't finished listening to the Thin Lizzy episode.
You don't have to listen to it, but that record is so good.
Why? What'd you guys say about me? See, that tells me one thing, that you guys are talking shit. Honestly, you don't have to listen to that. Forget it.
Well, it was St. Patrick's Day, so we were both pretty hammered, but we...
I'm not drinking. I don't think I wasn't drinking.
Well, I was hammered, but anyway, it was...
Big surprise there.
We talked about this already. Thin Lizzy fucking rules, and I did not give them a chance.
You know what? I've not spent any time with those first few releases. Thin Lizzy that I really loved was, you know, obviously the Jailbreak album is just a staple. And then have you ever listened to their Nightlife album?
No, I gotta
so
get
good.
There.
That is the Phil Lynott coming home at 4 a.m. after Getting Dumped album. Ooh. And it's not mellow, but it has a heartbreak and a sadness to it. And you know, he's a great storyteller.
Yeah.
No one gives Phil Lynott credit for weaving a yarn.
Yeah.
You know, of really interesting characters.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's a lot of that in the Nightlife album, and the production is super good. The playing is amazing.
It reminded me a little, we talked about this too. I think we talked about Rod Stewart, but also the storytelling aspect reminded me of like old, like Warren Zevon.
Right. Yeah. He kind of creates these characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. But.
Well, and he pulls from like Irish mythology and everything.
Mm. Yeah.
There was like a lot. I didn't know. And I think I said this in the episode, but I think for me, I was misconceived. I thought for some reason they were just like a hair metal 80s band. I think because at the
oh, no.
I know 70s. I'm wrong now. But I was I think because their logo, when like the boys are back in town and stuff, it's very kind of Van Halen-y, you know, the like Thin Lizzy.
Yeah, it's just
like
very hard rock.
It's very hard rock. Yeah. And at that era, and I mean, I've always thought that song is, you know, a great fucking ass. Yeah, it's a kick-ass song, but I just like in my mind I just kind of just filed them away as like another like a hard rock 80s band. But of course they're not an 80s band. I didn't know that. I didn't look into them at all, so that was really cool to like do that episode and be like, oh, they fucking started in the late 60s
and they so in fact rock. Basically done by the 80s
once. Yeah, he, you know, he the guy would just partied till he was dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but,
and he's a guy, man, that's an interesting story too. So
yeah.
To go back to, you know, the whole, you know,
so is that what we're doing when we're done with Neil? We're going to go to,
I might as well.
I don't know. I think when we finish Neil, we take a good long break and then we figure it out. But Thin Lizzy, I mean, the band obviously, and then John Prine, I've been digging in a little bit lately. I'm kind of down for whatever. '70s Beach Boys, I'd be into. I don't know. We got lots of.
I think the band is a great option.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Let's stick to Neil, though. I mean,
let's talk about Neil, because this is the Neil Young podcast.
Well what I was going to say was that it's been a while since we've done this. You know, obviously, we all had a lot of shit going on, and again, we appreciate our patrons for being so supportive about it. But since we've talked, there's been a World War III has happened.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Just last night, Will Smith smacked the shit out of Chris Rock.
Yeah. Hilarious and disturbing all at the same time.
Yeah.
Much like this podcast.
There's been, I mean, what else? The Taylor Hawkins, is a horrible one.
That one sucks.
It's sort of along the same lines of Phil Lynott as far as the, you know, the drug and.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of thing, but still, like you, I think, Shu, you were saying that you said he had some kind of a system or something with it.
That's what he said. And I forget where the interview, I was reading, and it was an interview from like 5 years ago, and he had done, like he had had a scare, like he had overdosed and spent time in rehab and almost died. And, but he said that, you know, he loves doing drugs. Basically, that's what he says. He likes doing drugs. It's fun. And he's got a system. And usually that's like, you know, they'll do them and then they'll dry out. So it's, you know, maybe his body just had it. I don't know. I hate to speculate at this point.
Exactly. You don't want to, but
I don't want to throw any misconceptions out there.
It just sucks.
You know? Yeah. It's really shitty.
And Mike, you were like, before we started recording, you were saying, you don't know if you think this might be the end of the Foo Fighters.
I fear this is the end of this band because of the strong relationship between him and Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
And the chemistry and the fire he provided. And I don't want to discount the other members of the Foo Fighters, because they're all great musicians and they all add something very unique to that band.
I was going to tell Luke to mute himself, but he's just,
Luke's got to be a parent here. That's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right, Russ. He's got his OSHA approved sweatshirt on.
I came Luke, right, next time you can just mute yourself.
Nobody's going to get hurt.
Did I? Oh, can you hear everything?
No, you can. I was going to say, all right. Just know that you can.
Sorry.
Did you take a dump outside again?
No, not this time.
Just opened the door and started shitting.
We've all done it.
But yeah, no, it sucks, man. It's true. And that, you were saying, like, that last record's really good. Didn't they make like a horror movie? Is it out?
Yeah.
It's out.
That's the great thing about this band is that they're up for anything. You know, and they kind of followed Dave Grohl.
They just seem like fun guys, man. You know,
and they're in a place where they can do that. They can try things like make a movie, write a book, you know, play, and you know, a whole album live or whatever they want to do.
Everyone who was posting stuff like from bands like where they would all say how down to earth they were. We have a friend in a local band called Tiger Man Woe. And they're not, I mean, they're kind of big around here, but they're nobodies. And I mean that they're not like this national sensation. And apparently they were playing somewhere. And then, Russ, did you see this thing that Kevin posted?
Yeah. From, the Tigerman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dave and Taylor come walking over and they're just shooting the shit. Old van stories of like, just like down to earth.
I think Taylor like came up to them and was like, oh, you guys like it? In the band or whatever, and
yeah,
like I was like asking about their van, and then like
so cool,
like oh hey Dave, come hang out, and they just like hung out with these guys. Like,
have you seen the What Drives Us documentary?
No,
that Dave Grohl did about.
No, I heard about it though.
About van life for bands.
No,
it's pretty. I mean, for you, you guys should check it out because you spent a lot of time in a van.
Yeah,
you know, and these stories are pretty awesome. And it's another great thing about them. You know, they make these films and documentaries and they're just, I did watch
Sonic Highways. Did you watch that when that came
out? Love that. Yeah. That was great. Yeah.
I never saw
I like to think and there's probably no, there's no proof of this at all, but I interviewed Dave Grohl and Taylor Hawkins at the DCU cool. Center back in, when did Echo, Silence, Patience, and Grace come out?
I got no idea.
That's the one that had Long Road to Ruin on it. And anyway, so we're talking, and he was talking about, I'd like to do the next album, which was Wasting Light.
That was 2007. It's 2007. Okay.
So Wasting Light, he was like, I'd like to do the next album just totally live. Just mm-hmm. do all new stuff, but live. And I said, you know, a couple of people have done that. Joe Jackson did that. He recorded a whole album of brand new stuff live. He told the audience to hold their applause. And, you know, and then Jackson Browne, of course, did Running on Empty, which was recorded in different studios and backstage rooms and buses and hotel rooms and things like that. And he was like, oh, that'd be interesting if we just kind of went around the country and, you know, recorded in different studios and stuff. And I said, yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I mean, you know, you Sonic Highways comes like, out. I'm like, where's my check?
So are you saying you're responsible?
An exclusive,
yeah, right.
This is an exclusive, everyone.
I inspired Sonic Highways and I inspired Weird Al to play with a symphony orchestra, but no one, I'll never get credit. You know, I don't want any, you know, the art is out there and that's all. It made the world a better place.
Like, were you sitting on a bench in a park when you pitched this idea to him?
I'm telling you,
I believe you, Mike.
He said
he wasn't going to make a traditional album anymore. I said, you can't stop making albums until you do the double live album or the rock opera or the concept album, where you do the symphony orchestra album, like Metallica and Deep Purple and stuff like that. And he goes, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that could be in there. Yeah. That was me.
I believe you.
I believe it. Well, man.
And right before we started recording, when we were just shooting the shit about Thin Lizzy, Mike told us that, he ran into Phil Lynott and you know, he was just sitting around in a town, and then he said, hey, Phil, like, what's going on? Oh, these are my boys. They're just back in town or something.
Right. Right. I heard tonight there's going to be a jailbreak, right? So you better tell Rosalie.
Well, hey, we were talking about Taylor Hawkins, talking about drummers, and we got a response from Anthony again, Anthony Legerfo.
Oh, about this album?
Legerfo.
I wish we knew how to say his name, since we've already interviewed the guy.
I know. We didn't say his last name in that.
Everybody here to interview, you got to sign up for Patreon.com.
Legerfo, I think it is. I think it's Legerfo. Okay. We didn't know we were going to be recording till last minute. So I just kind of last minute was like, hey, we're recording Earth. He said, hey Ross, thanks for the heads up. Unfortunately, I can't make it today. I'm in the studio. Have fun and say hi to the fellas. PS, got the vinyl.
Nice.
He's referring to our town meeting vinyl and listening this week. Thank you. Been super wrapped up in the studio.
That rules. Awesome.
So nice. I'm going to read that to you guys. He's a great guy and everyone should go listen to that interview.
Yeah.
Well, that's a nice segue, Russ, into the album that we are going to cover here, which is Earth. Yeah. And he had mentioned in our interview with him that that's what the Monsanto years was originally supposed to be. Remember he said that?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. He said that it was supposed to be something like Earth, where there was going to be
a mix of
animal noises and live and a lot of, like, you know, experimental overdubbing and things like that.
Mike.
Yep.
Can I just say I am very grateful, because I had not listened to Earth before, that you gave me the heads up about all the animal noises. Because
you got to be prepared, man. Yeah, you got to be prepared.
If you didn't, I would have been so goddamn bad.
Well, you know, I'm sorry I did, because seriously, it's probably one of the most joyful moments of my life when I threw this album on and there was a friggin' duck squawking in the middle of Country Home. And I was like, is this going to be the whole album? Oh my God. And I was like, this is like Neil Young, like on the Muppet Show. It really is, right? It's like he's playing to like the Muppet animals, like cows and chickens, Gonzo's out there with all his chickens. You know, and Lou Zealand is throwing his fish around.
Hey, Daryl.
Like, it's just, I'm telling you, man.
Hey, Daryl.
Like blown away. And I'll, hey, Daryl.
Yay!
I'm trying to do
it. Tonight on the Daryl show, tonight on the Neil Young show, we got.
And Daryl's like, oh, Neely.
Oh, Neely.
Yeah, exactly.
Which one was that? Was that Animal?
No, it's like Miss Piggy when she gets mad.
Oh, all right.
Can we do Neil Young news though before we
Yeah, let's hit some Neil Young news.
Oh, should I?
No, that's all right.
You already have it, right?
Are you? No, you don't want me to do the jacket anymore.
No, I'll dub it in. The jacket already does it.
It's been a long time. Mike, how are you guys?
You're going to hit the Neil Young news. I think I know what you're going to talk about.
There's a couple of things.
Yeah.
There's he just said that there's going to be three new bootleg series albums coming out.
Yep.
The Dorothy Chandler Pavilion, 1971, Royce Hall, 1971, and Citizen Kane Jr. Blues, 1974. These all appear to be solo acoustic records.
Right.
I remember somebody, I think it was on our Facebook page, complaining that there was too much stuff coming out from those 71 acoustic shows. And I think they're starting to become right. Although I haven't heard these, so they may be brilliant performances. But we do have a lot of the bootleg stuff that's come out. And yeah, then some of the live, you know, archive stuff. It's a lot of it's that.
Controversial opinion. I 100% agree, and I'm Young Shakespeare. I mean, I'm just we've heard it. Am I being shitty? I know we're a Neil Young podcast.
I don't know. It's like each show's different in its own little way, but it's still a lot of the same stuff. And really, what all you need is Massey Hall.
Right.
That, to me, is his finest solo acoustic live recording ever. It doesn't get any better than Massey Hall to me.
I mean, how much more money? Even tying that into Earth, right? And I thought about this. It's fun. He does some cool shit. But I don't think you needed this album, if I'm being honest. If I'm being 100% honest, there's some cool moments. But I don't... You don't need this album. There's nothing like in the live versions that stand out over the... Like, most of the songs he does from Monsanto Years are better on Monsanto Years, in my opinion.
Oh, see, that's where we disagree.
And we'll really? Talk yeah, about I think later. There's actually yeah. some on here that I like better. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm just saying, like, I don't know.
Well, and that's the thing about doing a Neil Young podcast is, like, one of the things about Neil is, like, he doesn't... Yeah, of course he's made records that a lot of people would be like, this doesn't need to exist. But Neil's like, well, I want it to exist. So
right, exactly. Right,
it's going to yeah. exist.
Here, I have a quote about that I found when he was talking about making Earth. I forget what interview it was from. I read a bunch of interviews he did trying to explain this record. And he said, what if we make a record that I can't get out of my head and only I know why I did it? That's so Neil. That's like Neil's career, right? That's like all of his music right yeah. there. It's music in my head.
Yeah.
And only I know why I did it. right? That's the best.
So just pulling up, we have the track list from the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion album he's released.
Okay.
On the Way Home, Tell Me Why, Old Man, Journey Through the Past, Cowgirl, Heart of Gold, Man Needs a Maid, Sugar Mountain, Don't Let It Bring You Down, Love and Mind, Needle, Ohio, See the Sky, I Am a Child, Dance, Dance, Dance. Isn't that almost exactly Young yeah. Shakespeare?
Yeah. Or Massey Hall.
Royce Hall. On the Way Home, Tell Me Why, Old Man, Journey Through the Past, Cowgirl, Heart of Gold. And then just on and on. The only one that interests me is the Citizen Kane Jr. Blues album from 74. He's got Pushed It Over the End, Long May You Run, Green Sleeves, Ambulance Blues, Helpless, Revolution Blues, On the Beach, Roll Another Number.
Those would be cool to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, acoustic. Yeah.
Motion on the pictures beach stuff would be great.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wow. He does motion. So that was definitely yeah. around On the Beach yeah. then.
74, yeah. that was the same year as that Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young tour that was supposedly so disastrous also.
Oh, is that okay. the Eat a Peach one?
No, that was the Stills Young Band tour.
Oh, right.
But yeah. that's the of the other one. The other two seem identical. That's the only one that kind of interests right. me.
That's because it's 3 years later,
right?
Than the other two. Yeah,
maybe I'm being shitty. I don't know, but I'm just kind of I'm kind of over it a little bit. I don't know.
I was thinking this that what's the one where he's just like on, like he's telling really fun. Is that Canterbury House?
I thought it was. Are we thinking of Riverboat?
Well, Riverboat, he's kind of funny too, but it seems like in Canterbury House, I think that's the one, in between every song, he's just really on. He's great.
They're all starting to blend.
He's really funny. And maybe that's the thing. Like if you listen to what's the acoustic one that
Yeah, Canterbury House. He's really funny. Judy. He's really funny in Canterbury House.
You know, maybe they have different stories in between songs. Maybe he's okay, in different moods. You know, maybe that's it. But you know, there is a lot of that particular era that he's
so
put
much.
Out recently. Maybe he's just working his way through it, and he's going to move on to later stuff
maybe,
after he gets all this stuff out.
Or maybe one of these ones is exactly the same as like Massey, but he puts like bees buzzing between the songs, or like a kangaroo hop.
Right.
Or something like that.
Kind of screeching owl.
A random horn honk.
Whale song.
Which, by the way, the horn honks in this one, they caught me because I listened mostly in my work truck. And I'm like,
what? Oh, yeah.
Looking behind
yeah,
me.
I think at one point they got me too.
So, and then the other bit of news is that he released that song Cocaine Eyes.
Yeah.
That is going to be on El Dorado. And that's El Dorado right. is going to be released with three other albums. This is the start of the 80s stuff.
Okay.
So it's going to be the official release series, Volume 4. It's going to be out on April 29th. Hawks and Doves.
We're never going to fucking finish
That's
this
right.
goddamn
Well, I mean, we've done these albums. So if it's just these albums and they're remastered, we don't have to do them, do we? If they have extra stuff, though, we can at least cover the extra stuff.
Maybe Neil loves this podcast so much, he's like, I just got to keep putting out more stuff because I never want to stop.
That's a good theory, but
hey, Daryl, they figured it out.
Hey, Daryl, get back in the time machine.
I love that jacket voice.
Hey, Daryl, I want to use the jacket voice on Trans, so get back in the TARDIS.
Hey, Daryl, I only get hard when I hear old silver gold.
But this set coming out, it's going to be Hawks and Doves, Reactor, and This Note's for You, and then they're going to throw El Dorado in there.
Yeah.
Which is great because El Dorado was only released in like Japan and Australia or something crazy like that.
But even El Dorado, it's like it's all songs that you've already heard except for like one, right? It's just one new song. Or is it two new songs?
Well,
I
think that would
like,
be Cocaine Eyes. So it might be two songs. Remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love that. That's like my favorite Neil guitar sound. It's the stuff from El Dorado. It's just so distorted and just it sounds just completely unhinged.
A lot of the youngsters love El Dorado. They bring it up a lot.
Yeah. And yeah, like so that's the Neil Young news. Also, have you guys listened to, I don't know if it's still up there, the Rotterdam show from 1976 with Crazy Horse? That's the the show, the timeline show. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's a sick version of Drive Back on there that has the most amazing guitar on it. Nice. Great Cortez on there.
I'll have to check that. I'll have to hop back in. I've been
a lot of Zuma stuff.
Oh, all right. I'll have to check
it. It's really
that
good. The thing about the listening to the shows on Neil Young Archives, you have to listen to the whole show. You can't fast forward it. You can't go from track to track. You got to take in the whole show. Yeah, it's really get in the car and listen to it.
Can we get
awesome.
Commission for the archives? Because I feel like we've definitely at least sold a few subscriptions.
That's you know what us plugging the archives is probably the only reason why Neil hasn't shut us down yet. So he's like, they keep plugging the archives. So call
true.
Off the dogs. Hey, Daryl, call off the dogs.
Call off Old King.
Okay. No, but so Mike, I'm glad you gave me the heads up about the animal noises. It made it so I probably listened to this album maybe six or seven times because we haven't recorded in a while. But there's some great moments, great overdub moments. But a few times I found myself getting annoyed with the animal noises. But then because you gave me the heads up, I was like, you know what? I'm embracing this. I don't mind this. And also Neil created Earth and in both the album and the actual Earth. So
in his image.
In his
image. Hey Daryl, I'll change it to your image.
Oh. Sweet Neil. This is so fucking stupid. This fucks, Mike. I know you. I told you not
from,
to.
But, I liked it.
But this is so fucking stupid. This whole thing is so. We just talk about the Foo Fighters for 25 minutes, and then we just make Neil noises. We did a Neil Muppets thing for fucking 5 minutes.
Right? Yeah. I know it's serious. No, but with the animal noises, it's like you know they're rocking out, and it's like rah, rah, you know, and I'm just waiting for like. Stadler and Waldorf go, boo, boo. Promise of the Real will never be like Crazy Horse. If you like hearing stuff out of tune.
Oh, I can't wait for whatever meme Joel's going to make out of Neil.
Oh, my God. Muppets. It's got to be a Muppet meme.
And I'm sure he'll have some Will Smith slap waka, waka. Chris Rock incorporated.
Rocka, rocka. Yeah.
If okay, so let's just take a second here. If Crazy Horse were Muppets, which ones would they be? Poncho Jesus. Would definitely be Fozzie Bear.
You think so?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, is it?
I wouldn't say Ralphie is like Animal.
No, I was going to say like.
No, right?
Yeah, no, he doesn't. He's not. He's not.
Ralphie's got a.
Ralphie's almost. I know she's not. I know she's not a drummer, but the fucking.
I know who you're going to say. The girl.
Yeah.
Johnny Mitchell looking girl.
Yeah. The Johnny Mitchell. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. From Dr. Teeth's band?
Yes, yes.
Billy Talbot is definitely Gonzo, though.
I was going to say, 100%. Yeah. Billy Talbot is definitely Gonzo.
Yeah.
Who would
Gonzo.
Ben Keith? Who would Ben Keith?
Ben Keith would be...
Sam the Eagle. 100% he's Sam the Eagle.
Yeah, he's totally... He even looks like Sam the Eagle.
Oh, he kind of does, is, actually.
Holy shit. Sam the Eagle.
That's right. He's Sam the Eagle. Neil went back in time and told Henson to make him look like Ben Keith.
I mean, it makes sense.
I have this friend you should make Sam the Eagle look like. If you don't, I'll drink your soul like orange juice.
Hey, Jim, I know you have only a few bird Muppets, but one of them needs to be my best friend, Ben.
All right. This is getting...
All right. Yeah, this is getting out of hand.
Yeah.
So Earth came out during they called it the Rebel Content Tour in 2015. And
out of hand, that's just a loose puppet.
Sorry.
What do you want from us? It's been like a month since we recorded. What do you want?
It's a collection of his like environmentally themed songs or songs that could be kind of put into that context. And so, yeah, this is during his, you know, obviously the time where he's really pushing his environmental agenda. And as far as the wildlife stuff goes, all the wildlife sounds, he said on the Neil Young Archives, why should animals not come to the show?
Jesus.
That's what put the Muppet thought in my head. Like there's nothing but Muppet animals out there just rocking out to Neil.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, he does have that video on the archives where he's just playing. He's playing to
chickens.
Chickens.
Right?
It's great.
Yeah. And Gonzo's out there going, hey, this is great.
Oh, my God. Neil fucking rules.
He said also in the credits part at Neil Young Archives, he said animals, they don't have an uptight vibe. They don't have all the hatred and everything.
He's not wrong.
There's probably some animals that can be hateful.
You think there's some animals that have a little, like you know, it's like, I don't know, what would it be?
Yeah, little shitty white dogs.
Right. and then he says...
our one listener that has a shitty white dog turns it off.
Oh, that's my Bichon Frise. Oh. And he also said, you know, it was great having them on there, and they all sang in perfect pitch. He's just, I think he just loved doing this.
I think he loved doing this, and
I think he thought it was funny as I thought it was funny. I'm sure he doesn't think that the subject matter is funny, but I think just the way it sounds, because every time I listen to this album, it puts a smile on my face. Because it's so silly.
So silly,
And it's funny just to think of that. Although I have to say, the swarm of bees mixed in with the crowd noise is perfect.
That's really cool.
That's perfect.
It's really cool concept.
Yeah. I listened again today for the last time, and I found it annoyed me where I did like it the first few times I listened. I don't know. It's good. It's there are some high notes for me. I don't think anything from the Monsanto year sticks out. I like the actual studio stuff better than anything he does on this, personally. I don't know. I mean, that's why.
Did you guys read what inspired him to put the animal noises in there?
The uptight vibe thing is the only thing I have written down.
All right. You're both sitting down.
Oh God.
That's good.
Oh boy.
So he was on Mark Maron's podcast.
Okay.
And he said he got the idea from watching the film Bram Stoker's Dracula. When Dracula turned into a bat and flew around, and it took the point of view of the bat when it was flying around.
No.
You're fucking with us.
No, I'm not.
No, he didn't say that. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you serious?
I'm completely serious. He calls it an ear movie because of that.
What the? He's fucking with us at this point.
No, you know what? He's just throwing it in our faces.
Yeah.
I'm a vampire. There's nothing you can do about it. Hey, Daryl.
Yeah.
And of course he does Vampire Blues on this album where he says yes. That.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
And he really gets into suck-em.
Yeah, blum. Right? Yeah, because he's probably hungry. He's probably starving.
I can't believe... How did I not see that?
I missed that too. Album. Yeah.
I got shit about the backup singers doing mostly jingles. Did you guys
catch that? Yeah, those are so obviously jingle singers.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, jingle singers rule, by the way.
Like, yeah.
They're usually really good.
And they make a shit ton of money.
Yeah, they're superb. They nail it every time. And I think that's a great idea that he used them for that to make it sound like a commercial. The other parts I liked was when every time he said GMO or GMOs.
Oh, the auto-tune GMO.
Right. Yeah, and if you read, I read a Pitchfork review of the album, and they were like, this isn't a live album. It's far from it. There's a lot of overdubs on here, like the vocals, and you know, there's auto-tune all over it. I'm like, there's auto-tune on it like twice. And it's only when he says GMO. Get off Neil's dick, you fucking assholes. You know, it's just, and I love that because GMOs are fake, right?
Yeah, I actually like that. I like that choice. I think that's cool.
I thought that was a good
choice. I'm surprised that more of it didn't bug me. I just think it was done kind of right. Like, it's like the opposite of life. Right. I think it was just,
you know, like Luke, I'm the same way. I don't like all of it, but I like the idea a lot. And I think he accomplishes it through most of the record. I think there were some poor timing choices on the duck noises.
The ducks were a little much.
Because, you know.
But who doesn't love a duck?
In between songs, I get it. But like throughout and like during a breakdown, you know, like.
He's saying that they're part of the band, man. That's
true, right? No, he was right. He's like, yeah, you know, they're perfect pitch every time. Like on Seed Justice, there's a breakdown of 250 where it's just like. It's like a series of aquatic fowl, just like screaming. And then
I just want Mike to be included. I want there to be like just like someone to put out a page of different reviews and quotes about Earth. But I want Mike's, there was some poor timing on the duck noises to be included in that. I feel like that'd be really funny.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the reviews I read were like the animal noises were unnecessary. And it would have been a great live album if it didn't have the animal noises. And I was thinking, you know what? We have a bunch of great live stuff from Neil, but this is the only one that has a horse singing along to the song, an actual horse.
Yeah. I think that's why it didn't annoy me as much. Like Russ said, there was times where I got aggravated, but I think, like you said, we have so much live stuff already. Like we've heard these songs. And it made it interesting. And it made it good because it's Neil doing whatever the fuck he wants. And he's like, I want there to be a turkey here. So
I also love too that he puts out Monsanto Years and people are like, you know, shut your mouth about your fucking whatever, just you're a rock star, just fucking play your songs and shit. Right. You know, just and keep your politics out of it or whatever. Play your hits and whatever. And then he like doubles down.
Right.
He's
it
like,
actually includes animals in it that he's trying to save. Although they're not like,
it. It's so Neil, man.
There's not a lot like, Earth, it's, you know, and I get it. You have limited access to wildlife, right?
Right.
But it's just like, I'm sure there's like sound effects libraries you could raid and maybe get like, you know, some gorillas or something that's endangered. I don't know. I'm just, you know, just, it was all like, it was probably all animals on his ranch, I'm guessing.
Well, he has literally, listed on the credits, he's got wildlife recording credited to a few different people, including him and John Hanlon, who's been with him forever now.
And can you imagine John Hanlon? John! Hey, John! I want you to do something for me for the new album. Here. Here, take this recording equipment and go out and talk to the turkeys. Talk turkey to the turkeys. Hey, Daryl, did you hear that one? That was pretty good.
Daryl did the logo for this and the photography. But so Neil and John did wildlife recording. Then Eric Lynn, Chris Bellman, Will Mitchell, and Kevin Smith.
I don't think that's the same Kevin Smith. Is that the same Kevin Smith?
That would be great if just Silent Bob was out there fucking recording fucking squirrels.
It's like this, like ducks. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, there's a lot of hot chicks out there, but not everyone, not only one of them is going to bring you lasagna at work.
Just wearing a fucking
he's got a big, huge jersey on.
Backwards baseball hat. Yeah. Smoking a butt. He's part of Earth too. Silent Bob is part of the planet.
It's just, it's not actually wildlife. It's just Ben Affleck and Matt Damon noises. Sorry, stupid Kevin Smith.
Oh, it's this the entire like vocal track of Geely playing in the background.
Is this the first Geely reference on the Long Way You Young podcast?
And nice. The last.
We can be done now, I think.
Okay. All right, we're finished. Oh, another interesting fact before we could delve into a couple of the tunes. Do you know where he first previewed this record? For like the crowd and the press and the critics.
No.
This is also awesome. The National History Museum in Los Angeles. Huh. Or the Natural History Museum in Los Angeles. So it's the Museum of Natural History. So they, you know, among a bunch of like taxidermied animals and things. And
that rules.
It's so good, man. I love this.
Neil's the best. I mean, this even is fun. If you hate this
you may
album,
not like it. Yeah, but it's you can't deny it's
yeah.
It sounds like it sounds like Neil's having fun, even though it's a serious subject.
Yeah. And I say this stuff about Monsanto years. I think it's because I really, really liked the Monsanto years. You can tell they're fucking having a blast and that they're comfortable with each other, which I think it comes through. And I mean, like the last track, especially, I mean, spoiler alert, my number one is Love and Only Love.
Oh my God. Really?
Dude, it's a 28. He starts fucking playing Pink Floyd towards the end. It fucking rules, dude.
Oh my God, we've come full circle.
Yeah, we have come full circle.
We've come full circle from the first episode where Russ thought Pink Floyd was Neil Young.
Yeah,
and now Neil's actually playing Pink Floyd.
Yeah, yeah. I think
we're done. We're finished.
And it's. I think it's. I want to say Shine On You. I don't remember. I think it's Shine On You, Crazy Diamond. He's.
Hey, Daryl. Okay, start the Wizard of Oz. Now.
No, it's just but what I'm saying about that track is it's like for all intents and purposes, and then there's 10 minutes of them just fucking around.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. I just love
creating noise, it's great.
Which is it's a very Crazy Horse thing and Promise of the Real. They've got that fire that Crazy Horse has.
And that kind of
that sense of adventure.
That comfortability with each other is such a cool
thing. Is that a word?
I don't know.
Okay, just checking.
Hey, Daryl! Is that a word?
We're throwing a lot of Hey Daryls in this
one. I know, right?
We're just making up for lost time.
This one.
Someone reach out to them and let them know if that's a word or not. But don't let them know that it's us.
Also, just to quickly segue back to the Foo Fighters thing, I forgot about this. I thought this was interesting. Dave Grohl was a drummer and lost his front man, and now he's a front man and lost his drummer.
Right.
Fucked up.
That is messed up.
Yeah.
And they were both like good friends.
Yeah.
That's why I think this might be it.
Yeah.
As far as the Foo Fighters go.
I think you're right.
Yeah. He's got a lot of other stuff going on.
You know who was really kind of bummed out by this was Nails. I was talking about Nails. He just finished their book, or Dave's book, and like I don't know. He was. I didn't know he was such a Foo fan, but apparently.
Did he close the store for a day?
Oh, he doesn't close the store.
All right, I'm just saying. You know, where,
no,
where
but he made a
priority list.
He built like a replica of the drum of Taylor's drum set out of nails.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. And the stool is nails too. So.
Oof. Yeah,
that's true. Oof.
Stool of nails.
That's the new Foo Fighters.
Stool of nails.
They're just gonna change their name to that.
Oh.
So as far as also this album came out on my birthday, which is kind of nice.
Oh no shit.
Yeah, June 17th.
Nice.
Speaking of June 17th, I'm gonna do a quick side plug for town meeting. We have an album release tour. And it's right around my birthday this year in June. We're going to be in Philly. We're going to be in D.C. We're going to be in New York, Boston, Portland, Maine. We're doing a little mini East Coast tour run. Please go to our Facebook page, our website, check it out, townmeetingmusic.com, and come and see us. We'll probably play Neil at every show, I'm assuming.
And you and Russ are going to have a historic gig at the Hotel Vernon, Kelly Square in Worcester.
Yeah, we are.
Can't wait for that one.
When is that? Is that April?
I think that's April 23rd.
Yeah.
Okay. That'll be fun.
Yeah. That'll be fun. You know, when there's dollar beers, it's always going to be fun. Beers.
Yeah, it'll be a fun one.
Jesus.
Dollar beers.
Russ just got panic in his eyes.
Yeah, I did. Because let's not talk about the St. Paddy's Day show, for fuck's sake.
Was somebody over-served?
Yeah, Luke had a few too many.
Oh, boy.
It was same
Luke Patrick. Got a few too many.
Yeah, it was a fun one. Hey, what do you want from me? Hey, I'm a good shot. What do you want?
Do we want to talk about some of the songs on here?
Is that me? Do I have to do this?
Yeah,
thing?
You'll have to. But while you get it set up, I'll say the... some of the Ragged Glory stuff I really liked. The older stuff I seem to like a little bit more, but I really didn't like the Monsanto years stuff as much, which is, it's surprising to me that you guys seem to like those more. I don't know.
I'm completely opposite. I think all the Monsanto years stuff on here, I actually prefer to the Monsanto years album.
Really?
I prefer these versions.
Really?
To the album versions, especially the Monsanto years.
To me,
that's just such an amazing version of that song. It's just, to me, it has a lot more power, and it's just more, there's a lot more to it. It's more interesting.
Yeah, I think I just really like that song on the original album. I like the overdubs. I think it's an interesting sound, but it takes me out a little bit. I don't know.
I love the looping that he does in it.
Yeah.
Peace.
No. When he says, what's the line? Here, I'll find it. Hold on a second.
It's right before the verse about the Bible.
Gift from God.
Yeah.
So when he moves, gift from God.
Yeah.
I love that. And there's a lot of that going on in there. It's very dub.
Not to go down this road, but speaking of the Monsanto year songs, in Big Box, when he starts mentioning more corporations than he does in the original, and he mentions Pfizer, which I think it's interesting now how defensive he gets of Pfizer. I don't know.
Because of the thing we...
Because of the vaccines and stuff.
Right, but what was the connection with Pfizer to Neil as far as...
Oh, there was some huge conspiracy theory.
There was a big conspiracy theory that the guy who was working for
BlackRock or something,
Amazon or
I don't remember,
or some kind of other streaming service or something, like the CEO was a former CEO of Pfizer.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And something like that.
But I do think it's interesting. He calls them out on this album. He like specifically mentions Pfizer.
Yeah. Chevron, well, this was 2016,
mm-hmm.
You know, and the pharmaceutical companies have been running wild pretty much with no regulation.
Oh, speaking of that, I finally finished Dope Sick. Oof. Yeah,
that's a rough one.
God damn. I finally finished The Sopranos.
Did you?
Yeah, I finished a while ago.
Nice. What'd you think?
Now everyone's updated on our Sopranos journey.
Yeah, right. I think that I can see why that ending drove people nuts.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about it. What do you think?
Well, you know, that guy was sitting at the bar.
Yep.
Looking around.
Members
and
only
he went to the bathroom when those two black guys walked in.
Yep.
I'm just saying. That was probably it.
You think, I mean,
yeah, but why, what was he doing? Why have him there?
He was in there to make sure Tony was in there, and he let the guys, the third party, know about it because they were always hiring third parties to take care of their business. So there was no connection.
You know what's funny? I listened to the Sopranos podcast with Michael Imperioli and Steve Shrippa, and never once did anyone bring up that theory. People either thought it was the members only jacket guy, mm-hmm. or those guys. No one ever put like the two together.
Well, I think they always hired, not yeah. always, but no, there was a few right. episodes where they hired a couple of black guys and then they ended up killing them, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they did a job for them and then they didn't want any other evidence unless they were the Italian guys that they hired, but those guys would always go back to Italy.
Yeah, that's yeah. true.
You know, and they were like directly involved with the family.
Well, so Vito did in Jackie Jr. though. But that was needed to get done by the.
So this one I think is different. So I think Tony's dead, and I think members only guy killed him because he's wearing a members only jacket. And the first episode of season 6A, the one where what's his name hangs himself at the end.
Yeah.
Russ, what's his name? I'm forgetting his name. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh yeah,
the guy who wanted to retire because yes. he got an inheritance.
He had a members only jacket. That
yeah, but
was called members only. I think that's a relative of his. I mean, this is all dumb speculation.
You know what though, Luke? It's New Jersey.
Yeah,
there's probably a lot of members only jackets still hanging around.
That's right.
You know what though? Remember when AJ went in and he was going to stab Uncle June?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and he said he did it because Tony said that they were watching The Godfather together, and his favorite scene in the movie was when Michael killed the head of the other gang and the police chief for trying to kill his father. Remember that in the restaurant? He shoots him in the neck. It's just a great scene. And he went to the bathroom to get the gun that Clemenza hid under the toilet. And I think that was a direct reference to that.
Yeah, it definitely was.
Maybe.
Are we doing the Neil Young podcast right now?
I don't know. We should stop because I can talk about the Sopranos.
I was going to say one of the things that you mentioned to me, Luke, and you had mentioned it before I got to the last couple seasons, and I ever since you said it, I really dug it, was the theory that Tony dies earlier than that, and then the whole rest of the show is like him in purgatory and figuring out whether or not he's going to.
So he was really dead when Uncle June shot him?
Yep.
Yeah.
So shout out to my buddy Ryan Andrews, who this was his theory, that Tony dies in season 5 when he goes to the Plaza Hotel. And there's a scene, because I believe it's right after that or during that episode. It's a huge dream episode. And it's right before he has to kill Tony Blundetto. Gosh, this is so stupid that we're talking about this.
I know, right?
Jesus Christ. But
it's not called Test Dream.
The next episode is called Test Dream. But it's there's too much to it, but there's a theory that I think my buddy Ryan came up with it that he dies during that actually the prostitutes that come up to his hotel room are actually hitmen. They kill him, and the rest of it is him trying to get right, but he ultimately does not. And that's why the show ends the way it does.
Well, and ever since you brought that up, so then when he does get shot and he's in the coma, and they have the couple episodes where he's in the coma, and that there's that lighthouse, thing.
Lighthouse. Yeah. Yeah.
So ever since that episode, I noticed in a bunch of other episodes like lighthouses, like when they go into hiding, I think it's in the train one where. fucking what's his name gets shot? Steve Shrippa's character. I don't know why I'm drawing it. Bobby Bacala gets shot.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the one where they all go into hiding, right?
Yeah, they go to a safe house.
They go to a safe house, and like the calendar, and like there's certain things, like they all have lighthouses.
Oh, really?
So yeah, and then when they're in the casino, remember when they're in the casino, when he goes to the casino after Christopher dies and stuff, and there's like the devil, and he's like, he's really tripping, and he's like really looking at that little devil.
Yeah.
And then even the shit, like, it just gets like weirder shit like that. Dude, like cat. In reality, like the cat and Christopher, yeah, like yeah. that wouldn't have happened otherwise. That stuff's too weird. Like,
I fucking love this show so much. Yeah. Also, right, what I love about I love about this podcast is not only do we start off topic, once we get on topic, we derail ourselves. We
find a way to get back off topic.
Exactly.
Hey, Daryl, they said derail.
They're talking about trains. All right. Uncle Bobby had a great setup.
We don't need to go every song, but
no.
I mean,
we talked about Monsanto years and what we liked about it.
So, we should definitely talk about Seed Justice because that's the only one from something that we haven't heard yet, I believe.
Yes.
I also like Mother Earth.
Mother Earth is in my top three.
Yeah.
So,
I like
you can play a little of Mother Earth.
Well, we don't need to.
Yeah, we don't need to. Just listen to the album. Fucking everyone's listened to it.
All right. What do you want to hear? You want to hear Seed?
A little Seed Justice.
Seed Justice, here we go.
Show me the love.
Slapping,
baby.
Fucking Chris Rock got slapped last night.
Can you? Well, while we're there,
people think that that's staged, of course, too.
Can you go to 250 in that song?
In this one, yeah, I'll try my best, but you know how the archives
are. Log them out.
I know the archives are so clunky. I hate how they keep logging you out in the middle of like reading or watching something.
You'll
get
talk.
On that. Get
you
your people
talk
on that
for a minute.
How come this wasn't on Monsanto Years, this song?
I don't know.
Weird, right?
Didn't make the cut, I guess.
Seems like a perfect song for Monsanto Years.
See?
Yeah, roaring guitar, right? Break it down. Cue the crickets. More crickets!
Bring in the bees!
All right, the turkeys. Good turkeying. Right? In the crowd.
Now turn the crowd into bees. I don't.
All right, good.
Hold on. I think my new favorite character is like a stage director, Neil Young. All right. All right. Now bring in the turkeys real slow. Fucking great.
I blew my my mic out for a second there.
Oh, jeez.
That's what happens when I'm doing stage director Neil.
Epic breakdowns, man.
It's great. Why do you think this didn't make it to Monsanto Years?
Maybe the recorded version just wasn't as good as this one.
Okay.
That might have been that would be my only guess. Or they just didn't have enough room.
Mm.
I don't know. This album came out as a triple album on vinyl.
Earth did?
Yeah.
Yeah,
jeez, that 30-minute epic at the end.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, at least he put it at the end and not up front, like in Psychedelic Pill. You know, he's just he starts it off with a grind. You know, it's just I don't know. I love. There's a lot of epic breakdowns with the animals in this.
Like, you're not talking about the band The Animals.
No. Go to country. Like, first of all, I love this version of Country Home, and the dueling guitars. I wish Country Home was 30 minutes instead of Love and Only Love, just to hear.
Easily.
Is it Lucas? Is it Lucas who's playing the lead?
Yeah. I love him
and Neil going back and forth on the guitar. I could listen to that for an hour straight.
I know. Do you have a spot you want
to
hear?
Yeah, go to 5:45.
So while you're going
to start at 5:40.
There's moments in this that I love, but overall this just made me want to go back and listen to Ragged Glory. I think Ragged Glory is so good, and this, I don't know, this didn't do it as much for me. There's moments for sure, but yeah, we'll go to your.
Did you say 540?
Yeah, go to 540.
Okay. This is 532, Willis.
Okay, that's good. Sick ducks.
Mike just wants
that's the best duck. I mean,
why did it stop?
Did they kind of take like a rod and just guide them into the studio? or did he have people actually like squeezing the ducks?
Oh.
Oh, and there's a turkey. It's so
that was Kevin Smith on the set of Dogma walking out to the swans.
Yeah, this song rocks, man. I love that.
It didn't make you guys just want to go back and listen to Ragged Glory so
no,
bad.
No, absolutely did.
Yeah, sure.
That song.
Yeah,
it's great. Yeah. You know where there's an excellent version of Country Home? And this kind of surprised me. On the Timeline Concert of the Week, the 1976 Rotterdam show. 1976, they were playing Country Home.
I'm going to listen to that tomorrow.
And it's pretty damn good.
Also, isn't Country Home on Rust Bucket too?
Yeah. Well, that was the tour for that album, like the pre-tour, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't know they were playing it back in the 70s.
Mike, let's get to the question that every youngster is wanting to know.
Okay.
What'd you think of Hippie Dream?
I think it rocks on this album.
Don't get me wrong. I think Promise of the Real is a great band.
Okay.
And I know Tony Legerfo, when we had him on, said that he really enjoyed playing that one.
He certainly said that.
Because they said when they toured with Neil, they learned, 39 songs?
Yeah, something bananas.
Just so like that. They could tell Neil, hey, we know these, so if you want to call them out, I think that's just beautiful. And that was one of them. And he said that was one of his favorites playing live.
Good setup, but...
Yeah. Still don't like it. I'm sorry.
I like it, man.
Sorry, Anthony.
I've changed my tune a little bit, especially on this one. I don't know. It's
Mike, this one fun. Or Landing on Water version. You don't.
I'll go with this one. Yeah. At least this one sounds more organic.
Yeah.
It doesn't have.
Hey, Daryl. They said organic.
Hey, all natural. It's the version with the red barn and the green field.
Hey, Daryl, I got some organic cherries here for you. Hey, Daryl, I'm going to Safeway.
Cherries. Safeway. I like this version of Hippie Dream better because it doesn't have Korchmar stink all over it.
Oh, Maron. Oof, Maron.
Cooch, Maron.
Hey, whatever, we're super grateful that he came on the podcast. We are.
I'm gonna jump the gun and tell you my top three right now.
Okay, let's do that.
My three is this version of After the Gold Rush. I really enjoyed it.
Interesting fact about this version of After the Gold Rush, the French horn.
Yes.
Do you know the story on that one?
I saw something about a French horn and I forgot it.
It's the exact same French horn track lifted from After the Gold Rush.
Wow. Okay.
Used on the original album, and he put it on there. And I think I read something to the effect of he put it on there to deliberately confuse people.
Of course.
Which is very Neil.
I think it's wild that he still plays it in the same time.
Yeah, that it would work.
Fucking 40 years later.
He probably adjusted it or something, though.
Maybe a click in his ear. Who's that guy, that country guy we played with, Russ? He had a click track in his ear the whole time. He did three shows with him.
Oh, was that David Nail or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, his name Nail? Was Nail. That's
was
right.
It Nails?
Fucking David Nail. Or Michael Nail.
Related to Nails?
Oh, I hope not. Mike, you would like this guy, ironically. He had his hit song was like, Real Men Love Jesus.
Oh, I love it already.
Throwing the pig skin. It was.
Yeah. Goddamn right.
She would be a fucking
Jesus.
Red, white, and blue. Brady.
But we are grateful for the opportunity. Thank you, David Nail. That's my three. My number two is Mother Earth. Great fucking start to this. Really enjoyed it. The harmonies are so good. And my one is Love and Only Love. So.
Jesus, I can't believe that's your number one.
Dude, it's Mike. It's so good.
No, I like it. I like it, but it's just, it's 30 fucking minutes, Luke.
Yeah, it's 28 minutes.
But I'm just,
okay, sorry, 28, 30. Who's
I'm
counting
just leaning
after 25?
That way now. And I don't want you, Russ, I don't want you to hunt for it, but like towards the end, when he starts, they're just after the song ends.
Yeah, I do like that.
I can't even handle how, I think just as like a lot of times, you know, like when you take whatever show you can get, and a lot of them are just 3 hour shows. And when you find dudes that you can vibe with and you just fuck around and like, you just sync up. And it doesn't even, like, you just lose everyone else. There's no feeling like that. Like, Russ, remember we did that? We did, like, a show in a barn this summer.
Barn!
On Blu-ray!
But we have this song called Dirty Old Demons. And on the track, on the CD it's on, it's like a two-minute song. Mike, we did a 24-minute version of this song.
Nice.
We just couldn't let go of it. There's just, like, a... I think I'm loving that more and more. And just also because I've been listening to The Horse so much over the past few years, I think Promise of the Real is the closest to The Horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And this version sounds like you could be on Weld.
You might disagree. Yeah. You might disagree with me here, Shu, but one of the only times where I like the Monsanto years version better is the Monsanto years. I just like the I don't think I like the Jingle Singers. I like the Promise of the Real guys on the record doing that. Okay. Like Safeway, like yeah. I don't know.
I love the Jingle Singers.
I do, but I don't know. I just on that song it's too pretty or something.
Well, that's the thing. It's supposed to be.
Yeah. You know, I do like the juxtaposition of it from the record, the studio version.
Yeah.
You know, like I like that it's not the same, that it's very different, you know, as far as this one has the Jingle Singers, it's prettier or whatever. But I think I like the rawness, the like funness right. from the
Yeah,
Promise
that was just
guys.
Them recording in yeah. like the yeah. movie theater. I love this because it seems like this was the track they tinkered the most with, and I think it really worked.
Monsanto years, you mean?
Yeah, they just used yeah.
I think the production was good. Yeah, like yeah. it worked, but I just meant as far as like the actual voices singing, like they seemed right. like they had more fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I bet like we were saying, I'm sure Neil had a lot of fun being like, "Okay, bring in the cows," you know, yeah, or okay. whatever. Yeah. yeah. Saying,
"Do the turkey here."
Yeah.
All right. Singers.
Can we get a bird? What do we have for birds?
It's funny you say that, Russ. My cut song is the Monsanto Years song.
Jesus, oh. really?
Wow.
Yeah, Wolf Moon.
You guys might not agree with me on this either, but I fucking love Vampire Blues on this.
Oh, I do too.
I love I how fucking I just love the suck 'em blood. Yeah. Like Russ, why don't really you, get I if I can find that I'll try, but
why don't you what's your top three, Russ?
I would say I didn't even really write it down, but
I got a top three.
I like Country Home, Vampire Blues. I also really like. Oh fuck! I really like People Want to Hear About Love on this one too. It's pretty good, but I don't think that's my top three.
Well, Mike's got them. Let Mike go.
Go ahead, Mike.
All right, my three is Country Home.
Yeah, I think that's mine.
The dueling guitars,
yeah,
and the well placed duck.
Yeah.
the number ducking. Two is Big Box. Which is to me like the Monsanto years, where they really did a great job of tinkering with it, with the animal noises and everything, and the whole get in line, you know.
Oh right, end. Yeah, get in line,
get
yeah.
in line.
Doesn't he say Luke, get in line at
does
one point?
Does he say Luke, get
I think
in line?
He does, yeah.
yeah, he's probably
he says,
talking
Luke. Luke, I am your father. Yeah. At one point,
yeah. He's talking to me. He could. He might claim it's Lucas Nelson, but he's talking to me.
But yeah, Big Box. That's my number two. My number one is Monsanto years.
Oh wow.
That's my number one. That's the best track on this record.
Really?
Absolutely. That's where the experiment works for me.
Okay. I get that. I don't think it'd be I won't probably listen to it again. I think for me it would be Vampire Blues. I like hearing that song that way. It's fun.
It's
and
great.
He's really into it.
That part, Russ, where you
I like people want to hear about love. I think that'd be my two.
Yeah, that's good too.
And my three would be Country Home.
Yeah. My cut would be Seed Justice.
Really?
Yeah. That song didn't connect with me. All the other songs did.
I think the one that doesn't work, I love the song. I just think Western Hero doesn't fit.
Western Hero's never been one of my favorite songs.
Really? I like the song. I like that song a lot. Yeah. I just don't think it's
a great version.
It's a great version. I just feel like it's not like, I guess it kind of fits the vibe, but yeah, I guess.
I love the version of Human Highway on here.
Me too. I was going to say that. Yeah, that's beautiful. That one's really good.
Yeah. I think that Promise of the Real really
They did a great job. Yeah.
I think this album made me kind
of
like
hear some of that. Actually.
How close Wolf Moon is to Human Highway.
Really?
Similar songs. Yeah. Not the same, of course, but similar like rhythm structures. I don't know. Wolf Moon I like on Monsanto Years. Maybe it's the placement so close to the end. I just feel like it was thrown on. I don't know. I got bored. It's just almost 7 minutes long.
This is a Human Highway. This feels like church to me.
Yeah,
it's like it's like Pete Seeger and the gang like getting together
like
for
Weavers.
Yeah, dude, it's got that feel.
Family,
I really like it actually
thing.
A lot. I think they. Might even.
It's beautiful. It's a good one.
Really pretty. You're right. It's got that old timey like. Let's get together in a state of love and kind of a thing and sing these songs for the people. And, you know, it's
I love that tune.
Me too.
That's a good one.
I like
Russ,
that a lot.
Can you just real quick go to Love and Only Love and go to like somewhere in the last like 5 minutes?
The last 5 minutes, dude.
It's going to take 2 days just to load up on the archives.
Yeah, funny.
I like the vibe of the song. This song never stood out to me until this album. I love when they go for it.
I love this song. I've always loved this song.
Ricky Harvey loves this song. Ricky Harvey getting.
I think
love
this was in my top three for Ragged Glory.
It was?
Yeah, it might have been my number one.
I don't remember mine. It was fucking a year ago.
Yeah, this is taking a while to load the fuck up, brother.
Remember when we started the podcast and we joked like, oh, it's going to be 2023 before we even get to Colorado. Yeah,
and you
it's
were right.
Be 2025.
Yeah. I mean, it is 2022, boys.
2022, boys.
It's 2022, boys. Luke, this is still loading.
That's fine. It doesn't really matter. I like that. I like the shit they do at the end.
I agree. I like a long Neil jam. Don't get me
so
wrong.
Do I. So do I. I like it a lot. But
yeah.
Well, anyway, I mean, we don't have to go too much more.
No,
into this.
I think we've talked about this. To me, you know, as far as this experiment, I don't think it was a successful experiment, but. It was in some points, and I actually enjoy listening to this album. Again,
so
as most Neil albums, they sound way better when you're driving on the highway.
Absolutely.
If you're cruising down Chandler Street in Worcester with your windows down, and you pull up next to a bunch of guys, and there's a duck going, wah, 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 and you just look over and go, what are you looking at? It's great. I love that.
Well, you know what, Shu? I would say, though, if you enjoy listening to this record, then I would say that it is a success.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'd throw it on more than I would throw on some of the other stuff.
No. But still.
You know, like Live Rust or Way Down the Rust Bucket or something like that. But, I mean, I think the performances are good, and I like what he tried to do here.
Yeah.
You know, which I can't say for a lot of other stuff he's tried.
Right.
You know, I haven't been as friendly to some of the other experiments he's done, but for this one, for some reason, it just makes me smile. It's the animals. You know, when you throw a turkey in the middle of a raging, distorted guitar solo, and that doesn't bring a smile to your face, you're just a soulless robot.
I mean, there's no other thing to think other than like, Yeah. Only fucking Neil.
That's right.
It's and that's why awesome. I love this guy.
It's friggin' hilarious. It's you know, hilarious. And it's and I love how it like some people like I was talking about that Pitchfork review earlier and they were just like, this is awful and this is not far from a live album and everything. It's like, well, maybe you should try listening to Neil Young for a little while. Then you'll get why this album is like it is, because this is him doing what he does best, and that's fucking with us. I mean, that quote I read at the beginning.
The Bram Stoker's quote?
No, not the Dracula one. No, the one where he goes, what if we make a record that I can't get out of my head and only I know why I did it?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I also perfect. I want to point out that 5 minutes ago when I asked Russ to play a bit of Love and Only Love, he didn't ignore me. It's literally
it's still loading. It's still loading.
Right.
I'll go back to my
show. No. We don't. Please don't at this point. Oh, I just wanted to point out, like, he wasn't ignoring me. It was still trying to load.
Right. It's still, I'm looking at it right now. It's still loading. It's got that, what do you call that thing? Shoe in the
spinner?
Yeah.
Oh, the 45 adapter?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a specific name for that.
I feel like there is, but I don't know what it is.
They used to give them away at record stores. They just had a pile of them at the cash register, and you bought a 45. You got one of these?
Yeah.
So what's next? Peace Trail?
Peace Trail is next.
Okay.
Yes. And are we going to do a Patreon episode on Cocaine Eyes? Well,
I'll do one on Cocaine Eyes. I mean, we touched on El Dorado, but I would do more than.
Well, this is since this is unreleased and you haven't been able to listen to it on the archives version of El Dorado, and now it's out, you know, get our take on it.
We also at some point should talk about Back to the Future too.
Yeah, I know, we keep talking about
yeah, we promised that for
it's like the elusive
year.
Thing
now my other question is are we going to be doing the podcast live from Indian Ranch in Webster when Weird Al Yankovic plays?
Dude, please, can we? Mike, you're the one with the Weird Al plug. You're the one that pitched him all his ideas.
I know. I should get at least some kind of credit. Like,
get him on the goddamn pod.
I know. I'll try. I'll say, he's never done any Neil Young, huh?
That's even better.
I don't think Neil Young is conducive to the Weird Al treatment.
I feel like, no, Neil would be fine with it. He's that fucking Jimmy Fallon.
No. I mean, I don't know if it would work.
Oh, I could. I'll get Weird Al on the pod, Mike, and I'll pitch him 15 different parodies.
Okay.
Ideas.
All right. I'll do my best.
For the next step, I'm going to come up with 15 good Weird Al parody ideas for Neil.
Okay.
And they're all going to have something to do with birds and trains.
Okay.
I'm not going to remember that. All right. Thanks, boys. This was nice.
The one thing I want to say is give Earth at least one listen.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's worth even giving it a try.
Even the 28-minute final song.
After it takes 5 hours to load, you know.
Yeah, it's just listen. Good. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I you know, I enjoyed listening to it. I can't say I'll go back to it a bunch of times, but yeah. I thought it was a fun listen.
Absolutely. I agree 100% with that.
All right.
So do I. No, it's been good. So shoot, the first time you're going to see Luke and I play is at the shitty venue in Worcester.
Excuse me. That is a historic room. The Ship Room is a historic place.
I'm just kidding. I don't know anything about it. I'm just fucking with you because you haven't seen town. You haven't seen town meeting yet.
We should get Mike to MC.
Call it shitty. I mean, they're gonna fuck with you if you call that place shitty.
No, I know. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I don't even know it. I have no idea what it is.
Dollar beers. That's all you gotta know.
That's all you gotta know.
Mike, come on to our album release in July.
Not drinking right now, but
where's that gonna be?
Brighton Music Hall.
Really? No, I'm just kidding. No, I love that room because I love getting a seat at the corner of the bar because you can see the stage perfectly and sit and have a drink.
That'd be fun.
Which is great.
Definitely look for a town meeting.
Yeah, you can introduce the band. That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah. I've been waiting for that my whole fucking life.
Thanks,
Peyton. Yeah, but you have to do it as Old Silver Gold.
Okay, you got it. Yep.
Russ, stop pitching these things.
The only person in the audience that'll get it will be John Locke.
I think,
John
you know
Locke
what?
Will be there.
I think
be this, like, yeah! This be like, hey, Daryl!
Let's do a live podcast this summer. I think this is the year we do it. So we'll figure out a place. Maybe in
Worcester. Let us do it at the Vernon.
All right. I mean, we can't do it at Knicks anymore.
That's shitty. All putting right. up his kid.
That sucks. Yeah, Knicks closing. That sucks.
We'll have guests.
But, no, I'm excited to check out the room, actually. I don't know what it is. But
it's a fun place, Russ.
You haven't checked out the room yet, Russ?
Yeah.
We're open for...
Never mind.
It's a great movie.
Fuck off.
All right. Well, check us out on social media. We're on Facebook, which is a very active discussion going on there all the time. And then we are at Long May You Young on Instagram and also on Twitter. And please go to longmayyouyoungpodcast.com where you can hear all the episodes and buy merch.
Do we have any 5 stars or anything, Luke?
No, nothing. We had some Facebook comments, but I forgot to read them. But people are.
We are so on top of our shit.
I know, man. We're on it, dude.
it's been a distracting week. People.
I've been busy doing my finishing up my solo album too, Shu, and Luke just added some parts to it. Sounds good.
Nice.
And also, people should check out Luke's because he just put out like an EP called
Christ.
Called Insomnia.
Fucking time.
Everyone should go check that out. Luke, is it everywhere or
everywhere? Nice. Just look up Luke Condon. It's called Insomnia. I got the drummer from Dr. Dog playing on one song. It's like the one thing I can use to promote it. And I reached out to him. I said, hey, man, sounds great. Can you share this? Nah, he wasn't going to share it. So,
all right. So next week we'll be covering Thin Lizzy's Johnny the Fox. So make sure you tune in.
Nice. All right.
Bye, everybody. Boys. Good seeing you.
All right, you guys.
Take care.
I'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.